Blog Talk Radio.
Glamour Fearless, Diva Talk Radio. Fashion Review, the podcast that lets you have fun with fashion. I'm your host, Mr. Diva Bedick, and I want to help inspire you to glam more, fear less, with a show packed with beauty, fashion, and diabetes advice to help you stay healthy and in style. Stay tuned to laugh a little and learn a lot with our Buy, Borrow, or Burn fashion games featuring three plus-size swimwear designs and iconic swimsuits worn by Halle Berry, Farrah Fawcett, and Annette Funicello. My guests tonight are certified diabetes educator, Patricia Addy Gentle, Divabetic Image and Style Advisor, Catherine Schuler, body expert, style architect, and the founder of the Honor You Image Consultant Agency, Kendra Charisse Porter, digital media expert, social media fashion shopping consultant, and an instructor at the Fashion Institute of Technology, Dahlia Strum, and our guest Divabetic, Alexis, who is living with type 1 diabetes from New York City. Before we get things started, please take a minute to support our dazzling brand of diabetes outreach and donate today at divabetic.org. Your generous contributions are greatly appreciated. All right, so let's kick things off with our fashion-forward approach to living with diabetes by taking on one of the most controversial topics for women in diabetes, especially when it comes to fashion. Shoes. Did you know that many leading doctors, including Dr. Scott Kilberg, who writes for The Diabetic Foot, strongly believe that women with diabetes should not wear high heels? Oh my gosh, I could hear the groans coming across the sound waves right now. Actually, Dr. Scott Kilberg believes that the problem with high-heeled shoes and diabetes is that they put all the pressure of your body weight on the ball of your foot. This, in turn, can accelerate the growth of calluses and wounds on the skin under the ball of your foot. Additionally, the extra pressure on the ball of your foot compresses the joints in the middle of the foot, which can lead to devastating fracture disease resulting in neuropathy. Dr. Kilberg thinks you should give up high heels completely because, in his words, you won't be able to wear them anyhow once you have a prosthetic leg after having suffered amputation. Wow. All right. Well, the good news there for everyone listening is not every doctor believes what Dr. Kilberg said and his advice. So if you happen to be one of those diabetics right now who's listening, who can't bear the thought of going a day without wearing high heels, keep your feet happy by buying shoes with wide-toe room, cushion insoles, and reinforced heels that are relatively wide. Try to keep the amount of time you spend wearing your high heels to a minimum by carrying along a pair of flats or sneakers. This way, you can continue to glam more, fear less all summer long. Straight ahead, it's time to learn about tonight's sexy little number.
Ole, 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 ole.
All right, everybody, let's face it, diabetes is all about numbers, and the challenge for many of us is learning how to better manage our numbers to stay healthy. But first, you have to know what they are before you can even manage them. Here to help explain to me what the hemoglobin A1C is certified diabetes educator, registered nurse, Patricia Addy Gentle. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, Max. How are you?
I'm giving you a standing ovation for being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. What is so sexy about the A1C?
Well, the A1C is one of those units of measure that we can use to see just how well diabetes is being managed. And, of course, with good management, that means a greater outcome and the time to glam more and to fear less, because we have great management, feeling good, looking good, and longevity. So that's what's so great about that A1C.
So it gives the average of your blood sugars for a three-month period, right?
That's correct. It gives the average, and we aim for having an A1C between 5.5 and 6.5 would be great, because when you have an A1C, meaning that over the past 3 months or 4 months, that average blood sugar has been about 150, right in that area, if you were right at a 6.5.
And someone without diabetes, what would someone without diabetes, what would their A1C be?
Without diabetes, you would be under 5.5. We actually look at the pre-diabetes diagnosis when the person is between 5.5 and 6.5. So, you know, someone with great control when they have a diagnosis would be in that pre-diabetes range.
Now, you know, I was just hosting the Divabetic Barbecue and Benefit here in New York City, and one of the divas from the Divabetic Club New York was there, and she was telling me that her A1C was 10. So what would 10 mean as
10
far as your
is
blood sugars?
Yeah, 10 is getting very close to 300. It's about 275 or so.
So you're saying that over 3 months her average blood sugar was about 300?
Yes, and keep in mind that it's an average. So you're looking at, you know, possible excursions. At times she could have been 400. At times she could have been 100 or 150. But those numbers balance and average out to close to around 300 for the average.
All right, so when if you go to a doctor or a certified diabetes educator like this woman did, and she has like a number of a 10, what would you tell her, Patricia?
Well, that number indicates that she needs really to get a grasp on better management. She needs to look at her overall clinical picture, what things she may not be doing quite so well, such as her nutrition. She should look at her exercise or activity routines. She should look at if there is any source of infection in her systems, you know, an abscess tooth, an ingrown toenail. Any type of infection can cause excursions in high blood sugars. So those are the kind of things that you want to take a look at, just overall care to see what is on track and what is not on track. And those things that can be improved, once they are improved, hopefully you'll find that the blood sugar comes down. If the A1C will go down if the blood sugar is coming down. She might need to speak with her physician. Of course, better management means more frequent testing. So if she's seeing that there is a trend of high blood sugars early morning, late night, middle of the day, or whatever time, she may do an assessment and decide that at that particular meal time or whatever it was that she had may have had a profound impact on what the blood sugar is. If she cannot identify and make those changes, of course, a doctor's intervention is necessary. Anytime you have a blood sugar that's consistently 200 or greater for 2 or 3 days in a row and you cannot identify what the problem is, then a doctor's intervention or an educator may be able to assist, but surely there should be some type of medical intervention.
And where do you recommend people go if they want to learn more about the hemoglobin A1C?
The ADA website is an excellent resource. They can talk with a local educator, and the local educators can be found on the American Association of Diabetes Educators website. You put in a zip code, and it will bring up your educators in that particular area. The ADA is www.diabetes.org, and the American Association for Diabetes Educator, that website is www.diabetes.org. diabeteseducator.net.
Love it. Well, thank you for helping us get sexy with diabetes. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the AADE National Conference in Philadelphia, where I'm going to be presenting our Diva brand of diabetes outreach. So thanks, Patricia, for being a part of the show tonight.
Thank you. I look forward.
All right, everybody. Now let's turn the tables and get talking about fashion and meet tonight's Glamour Fearless Style Squad.
Ooh la la.
Ooh, please meet the Divabetic image and style advisor, Catherine Schuler.
Hi, Max.
Hi, Catherine.
Oh, wow. I love that applause.
Let's meet body expert, style architect, and the founder of Honor You Image Consulting Agency, Kendra Charisse Porter. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, Max. Thanks for being on the show.
And let's meet consumer and business strategic digital media expert, fashion-related social shopping consultant, Dahlia Strom. Hello, Dahlia.
Hi, Max. How's it going?
What is a social media fashion consultant, Dahlia?
So we take a look at people's actual businesses, and we start figuring out what digital strategies would make the most sense, first to create awareness that they exist, and then also how we can implement that into their marketing plan.
Love it. I'm ready to glam more, fear less. Well, listen, divas. Tonight we're reviewing style tips from one of the most iconic pinups of all time to encourage our listeners to feel a little bit more diva about dealing with their daily self-care. I've got three style tips from the one and only Marilyn Monroe, and I want you to tell me what you think, how you think any type of diva can put one of Marilyn Monroe's style tips to use in her everyday life. It's time for Ready, Set, Go, Marilyn Monroe. Catherine, you're the fairy godmother of the plus size industry. Did you know that Marilyn Monroe embraced her curves?
I sure do.
She never wore a t-shirt or baggy sweats, even when she was walking around the streets or working out or behind the scenes on one of her movies. So how do you suggest a woman with curves dress for a workout or a Zumba class without looking dumpy or frumpy?
Well, it's pretty easy today. I mean, Marilyn was challenged because she was in the 50s and 60s, and they didn't even have the spandex and lycra materials that they have today. So there's no excuse for not showing off your curves at the gym, ladies. And that's a time when you can actually glam more, fear less, even more so with a really sexy black unitard, which I absolutely love because it feels like a cat suit from the 80s. So I work out in that. So that's the way I do it. And then I can just put a blazer on it and a pair of boots and go home and, you know, put a necklace on it if I have to go out. And that's the way I can go from gym to any kind of event afterwards.
That's great. All right, Dahlia, you as the keynote speaker for the Retail Marketing Society Inside Buzz about fashion bloggers, did you know that Marilyn Monroe never took a bad photo?
She really understood profiles and how to show off her best angles. And that's actually something interesting because if you take a look at celebrities now, they'll wear nude shoes mainly because it makes their legs look longer. And there are just different things like that that I think she was very keen and aware about.
All right. Well, here's your question. Because today's social media makes it almost impossible for anyone to be picture perfect 24/7. What advice can you offer to help us look as glamorous and sexy as Marilyn Monroe in photos taken on an iPhone?
Rock some red lips, because I think that is always a statement of sexy and power. And that is a very good question. Just make sure you're aware of your best side. Everybody knows that they have a really good angle that will best display their features. So if that's something that you can figure out, then you'll be able to, every picture that you take, angle yourself appropriately.
And she also had a signature look, Marilyn Monroe. So, you know, sometimes people struggle with all these new trends coming out. What kind of advice can you give someone who might, like, be, you know, trying to get their signature look together to look better on their Facebook profile?
I think that it takes a little bit of time and it takes a matter of perfecting, but it's a matter of you figuring out what your best colors are and how you'll be able to do your, not only your facial figures, but also your body justice. You take pictures, trial and error. It's the same thing when you do everything. You want to make sure that you take a look at different looks and try to emulate them according to how you would best be featured in those images.
Okay. And Kendra, as part of the Style for Hire network of stylists, personally trained and selected by Stacey London of TLC's What Not to Wear, did you know Marilyn Monroe wasn't afraid to bare her arms in any type of weather?
You know, she always did really well, and I think that's something a lot of women struggle with nowadays. I see so many clients who are worried about their arms at any size, honestly. And so I always tell people to feel really you've got to feel comfortable in your own skin and embrace where you are. But, you know, there are things that you can do to kind of sort of minimize that, whether it's like a longer sleeve or a flutter sleeve, or looking at things like shawls. All of those things help people, you know, feel a little bit more comfortable in their skin.
What do you think, Catherine? Is there like a certain length sleeve that you like to wear more than others?
Yeah, no, I like the bracelet length because everyone has that diminishing line from their elbow to the wrist that is very, very flattering. The upper part of the arm is pretty much like what Kendra's referring to with the full-figured woman. She feels a little fleshy there. So I like the bracelet length because, and it also shows off your bracelets and your jewelry and your watches. And it's just a nice diminishing line from the elbow to the wrist.
All right. Now, ladies, look, it's time to review a few crazy new fashion trends with our Glamour Fearless Style Squad. Here we go. Divas, tell me if you like this trend by saying hot, and if you don't like it, say not, because it's time to play Some Like It Hot, Some Like It Not. All right, here you go, ladies. Ready? Would you wear shoes made to look like parts of dead animals, like a pair of heels in the shape of horse hoofs? Catherine Schuler, hot or not?
Not.
Kendra, hot or not?
Not.
Dahlia, hot or not?
Totally not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, Lady Gaga spent $6,000 getting a pair of shoes that look like horse hoofs, so I'm kind of curious. No one thought that was hot. Interesting. All right, Catherine Schuler.
Because of their meat suit.
That's true. You have to look at who's wearing it, right? Would you wear a pair of Where's Waldo style glasses, Catherine Schuler, hot or not?
Absolutely hot. Love those big Wayfarers.
You do? Where would you wear them?
Yeah. I'm just with anything, really. You know, Alana Moreau rocked those on the runway 1 year with all the models with these big black framed glasses. It was so cool.
All right, Kendra, would you get your inner nerd on and wear those Where Waldo glasses?
I personally would not, but some people can really rock them.
Dahlia.
So that is one of my statement pieces. I totally rock them every single day. I love them.
What made you kind of shy away from the smaller and go so bold with the face furniture?
Recently I've been into statement pieces. So I love those dark frames. I feel like they kind of, it's another accessory for my face. And I'm a big, big fan of statement necklaces. So anything that makes that statement.
Do you have multiple pairs of glasses, or do you just wear that one all the time?
I have a confession. I do have multiple pairs, but I have the tendency to favor one above the other, and that's something that I'll wear over and over again. But I'm definitely going to be stopping by the Warby Parker store soon so I can pick up some extra pairs.
Ooh, nice. All right, here we go. Final question. Catherine, would you wear the new Face Kini, a protective head mask that's popular in China on the beach? Hot or not?
Well, I would say probably if I was going to China, I would probably do as the Chinese do and wear it. But here in America, they would probably think I was going to be a bandita.
Kendra, what would you do with a face kini?
Not.
Not? And Dahlia, you've got those Waldo glasses on. Are you going to wrap it up with a face kini?
I don't even understand this style.
It's a ski mask for the beach.
I think sunblock works just fine.
All right, everyone. Well, guess
what?
What
do you do with the tan lines on your face, Max?
Straight ahead. It's time for me to pass the boa and meet tonight's featured diva medic.
Hello, diva. Oh, hello, diva. It's time to pass the boa and show us your new attitude.
Please welcome Alexis from New York City, living with type 1 diabetes. Hello, Alexis.
Hello, Max. I love that intro.
I love to sing your praises. That's our favorite thing. You are a huge Marilyn Monroe fan, so what did you think of our Marilyn Monroe style tips?
Oh, love it. Love it.
Are you going to wear red the next time someone pulls out an iPhone?
I'll try.
All right. Well, I was reading your profile, and I read that you never really took proper care of your type 1 diabetes until you became pregnant with your daughter. So what changed, and how did that happen? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was just never really – I guess I was kind of in denial before. I would try and push my limits and see how long I could go without – taking my medication before I ended up in the hospital. Very, very poor care of myself. And then I had to take care of myself because, there was a baby in me. And just after that, just put things in perspective. I'm in charge of somebody else, and I've got to be healthy enough for her, not just for me.
So you have had a few setbacks a little bit. You had some eye surgeries, right?
Yeah, about 9 of them.
9 surgeries, and that relates back to the time when you were kind of in denial about it, correct?
Right.
And so now, how is it today? Because your daughter just turned 7 years old, right? She's kind of smart and sassy. So where are you with your management today?
My A1C is actually a 10 right now, which is not good, but it's better than it was before because it was 15 before. Yeah, really, really, really bad, out of control. And we're working on bringing it down. Hopefully when I go back in about 2 weeks, I'm hoping to see it at like a 7 because my numbers have been really good.
So, Alexis, there's so many, fashionistas out there living with diabetes listening tonight. What would you want to tell those girls who might have been in the same situation you were with their diabetes early on?
I think you just really need to find a good support system because that's where I was lacking. Like, I had it for a while, and then I kind of changed insurances, and I was just kind of up in the air, and I just left it that way, which I really shouldn't have. But once you find a good support system, then you just stick with it. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm with Jacoby, and they're really great there.
A lot of girls who have diabetes wonder about having a baby. So you're here to tell them that if you're living with type 1 diabetes, you still could have a healthy baby, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. She's absolutely perfect. She's totally healthy. She was premature, but everything's fine now. She was in the hospital for a while, and that was it. After that, she hasn't gone back.
All right. Now, you also suffered a huge diabetes fashion faux pas recently, I read. Your insulin pump broke. What happened?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea what actually happened to it. I think the battery burst in it or something. I do not know what happened. But it broke, right after the warranty was up. So that sucks.
Well, because I was talking to Patricia Addy-Gentle, our registered dietitian and, our registered nurse and certified diabetes educator. She's on the line right now, too. And Patricia was wondering, what was your question to her, Patricia? We talked about this earlier.
Hello,
yeah.
I was Alexia.
Alexis, yes.
Okay, I was wondering if perhaps the manufacturer still has a warranty on your pump.
It was like it broke like a few months after the warranty was up.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was like it's just my luck. Like things like that happened to me. I was like, oh, I think 6 months after the warranty was up.
So now you have to wait like a couple of years before you can apply for a new one?
No, it's not that. They want me to, like just the doctors themselves, because they were going to file an appeal to get it for me, but they want my blood sugars more under control first, which is, you know, what I'm doing now. So hopefully I'll get it soon.
All right. And now I just wanted to ask you, because you had such a beautiful motto. You always say you're always living with there's always a silver lining. If you can't see it, you just have to give it a little polish. So through all these kind of trials and tribulations you've had lately, how have you been able to keep your spirits high?
My friends and family are really great and very supportive. Like if I ever need anything, they're there for me all the time. And I kind of focus on that, on basically all the things that I do have, not the things that I can't have or, you know, like food-wise and stuff. You know, like I still indulge a little here and there, but, you know, like everything in moderation. And I try to focus on basically, you know, keeping healthy. And in the long run, you know, this is pushing me to be healthier.
All right, now I read your profile. Let's talk fashion. Your sensuous style, Catherine, Kendra, and Dahlia, is you said you're simple and sensible. You dress for comfort because you're always working with kids. And you said you like to wear flirty sundresses and wedge sandals because you're a little bit compromised when it comes to height, right?
Yeah.
All right, so keep that in mind, Glamour Fearless Fashion Squad, because now it's time to play my newest fashion game, Buy, Borrow, or Burn. So if you're listening tonight on the podcast, you could go to our Facebook page, Diva Bedick, and check out all these photos. We're going to be talking about three iconic swimsuits, and then we're going to be talking about three plus-size swimsuit designs. And you could play along by the game by looking at those shots, but I will describe them for you as well. So this is how it's going to work, everybody. We've got you want to look good on the beach, the pool, or out at the boat, but it can be challenging. So finding the right swimsuit that flatters your figure as well as makes you feel comfortable so you can have fun in the sun is not that easy. So hopefully our Buy, Borrow, or Burn game featuring three iconic swimsuits will help you look and feel like a diva in the pool. All right, so to play along, you must decide which of the three looks, Alexis and the rest of the team, Catherine, Kendra, and Dahlia, you would buy for yourself, which one of the three you would lend to a friend to borrow, and which look you would burn. Are you all ready?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, thank you. Give me some love here, people. All right, our first look of the iconic swimwear game is a two-piece white swimsuit with a high waist worn by Annette Funicello in the Beach Party films with Frankie Avalon during the 1960s. Everyone listening, did you know Walt Disney requested that she only wear bathing suits that kept her belly button from being revealed? Interesting footnote there. Our second swimsuit is a red one-piece swimsuit designed by Norma Kamali and worn by Farrah Fawcett in posters across America during the 1970s. And our third look tonight is a two-piece mango-colored bikini worn by Halle Berry in the James Bond film Die Another Day with Pierce Brosnan. Alexis, we're going to start with you. Which one would you buy?
The white one by Annette Funicello. One by Annette Funicello.
Yeah. Catherine, which one are you going to buy?
I love the Farrah Fawcett and Norma Kamali one.
Kendra, which one would you buy?
I am definitely a one-piece girl.
You're going with Farrah Fawcett?
Farrah Fawcett, yes.
And Dahlia?
I love the Farrah Fawcett. I think that red is so sexy.
I have to say, I think it looks like it's a knit suit, like it would just kind of expand in the water. I don't know why. I just have this feeling like it's not. I mean, it was made in the 70s. The fabric can't be that great. I don't know, ladies. I have to tell you, I'm not on the – if I had to choose one, I'd probably – Well, I'll tell you all later. All right, so which one would you lend to a friend to borrow, Alexis?
The fire faucet one. I don't know who I'd lend it to, but it's cute, but I just wouldn't wear it.
All right, Catherine, which one are you going to lend to a friend to borrow?
I would lend a Halle Berry one.
Who are you
going to
give it to?
I'm going to give it to Queen Latifah because she really loves two-piece bathing suits, and I think she could rock that.
Kendra, which one are you going to lend to a friend to borrow?
I would definitely lend Hayden Panettiere the Halle Berry suit.
Who are you going to give it to?
She's got a great physique. Huh?
Who did you give it to borrow?
Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, all right. Yeah, she was from Nashville?
From Nashville, correct.
Oh, very nice. And finally, Dahlia, which one are you going to lend to a friend to borrow?
This is tough because you have to have sick bodies for both of them. that is a really good question. Maybe Beyonce. I think that Beyonce would look really good in the two-piece.
By the one that Halle Berry's wearing in the James Bond film?
No, in the white two-piece because you have to have, like, waist. I don't know. Something about it just speaks to me, and I feel like it might look good on her.
All right, so take out your lighters, ladies, because now it's time to find out what suits you are burning. Catherine Schuler, which one are you going to burn?
I would burn the Halle Berry one. I mean, you wouldn't need too much lighter fluid or too much time.
Alexis, which one are you going to burn?
That's exactly what I was going to say, the Halle Berry one.
Which one are you going to burn, Kendra?
I am burning Annette Funicello's the white two-piece.
And Dahlia, which one are you going to burn?
Halle Berry. That is too sick of a body to have. It's not realistic.
I got to ask a couple questions, Catherine. I'm looking at the Annette Funicello. It has, like, the higher waist. It looks like the fat bikini that you're seeing out on the market today for plus-size women. Is it not kind of like a derivative of that?
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. Gabby Gregg's fat bikini, which is just the galaxy print is flying off the racks, which is it's a high-waisted, but it looks more retro. So I like the fact that when it's form and function so that it looks stylish, but it also hides a little bit of the tummy that a lot of the full-figured women have.
All right, and I got to ask you, Kendra, because what not to wear. The biggest part of the Farrah Fawcett poster to my eyes, and I'm going to say it on the air, was the nipples. So what is there any kind of, like, advice around showing your nipples through a swimsuit on the beach? Like, what do you do?
you know, I mean, some people go old school and go Band-Aid. Some people, you know, still go back to the nipple covers. And what's really interesting, especially for women who are heavier, there's actually now bra swimwear that people can purchase to wear under their bathing suits, which will also help with that as well.
Such a good idea.
Good point.
Yeah, I love it. All right, guess what, everybody? It's time for our second Barbara Bird. I chose three new swimsuit designs that just hit the marketplace recently so we could play our fashion game, Buy, Borrow, Burn. Alexis, you said your sense of style was simple and sensible. You like to dress for comfort, and you work with kids. So now, ladies and gentlemen, and mostly the ladies because they're on the show with me tonight, we're going to let Alexis tell us which one she would buy, borrow, or burn, and then you are all going to try to convince her to sway her to see if you could get her to switch her choices. Are you ready? So, Alexis, your three choices tonight are, your first choice is a yellow, black, and pink pop art design one-piece swimsuit with pink peekaboo cutouts in the front above and below the natural waistline. Your second swimsuit option looks like it came right out of Beyonce's closet, in my opinion, during the days with Destiny's Child. It's a teal-colored one-piece swimsuit covered in long, ropey fringe, kind of like a flapper dress for the water. And your third swimsuit option is a beautiful coral-colored tankini with a spaghetti strap top and a colored bikini, coral bikini bottom. Alexis, which one would you buy?
The first one, the
Oh, you're going to go with the peekaboo cutouts? Okay.
Yeah.
And which one would you lend to a friend to borrow? And I said Beyonce, so which one are you going to let Beyonce borrow out of your closet?
the second one, actually, that you said, and that's who I was thinking either Beyonce or Jennifer Hudson. She could rock that.
And you're going to burn the tankini?
I really don't want to. I actually like it, but since I got to burn one, that's the one I'd burn.
Where would you wear the insulin pump with any of these swimsuits? Like, wouldn't the tankini be the one you... No, if you had to wear your insulin pump, where would you wear it? Would you wear it with the tankini?
Yeah, because you could kind of clip it to the strap, I guess.
Okay, interesting. All right, Catherine Schuler, what did you think of her choices, and what do you want her to do?
I actually agreed with it, but I think that if she wanted to feel really, really glamorous, she could rock the Beyonce one, because I love her picture, and she looks really sexy, and I think that fringe, as long as you don't get mistaken for a jellyfish when you're in the water, it really is sexy, and it's got a lot of movement to it, and it would be a great little, you know, choice for a sexy Marilyn Monroe updated look.
All right, Kendra, what did you think?
I'm going to agree with Catherine on this one. I definitely think the sexy fringe, it is...
Oh, my God,
you know,
don't it like Cher from Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, ladies? Come on, really? where are you going to wear
your
that?
Your gold headband.
It's sexy without being... Like, it's alluring without being over the top. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, you want to do something that... Like, for me, having a one piece across the board is going to hold my stomach in, whereas the first piece, I don't know if I could actually do that one, you know, personally. So it's looking at kind of sort of what am I going to feel comfortable but still be sexy in, and I always feel like you can do that with a one piece that's done, like, with some flair to it.
All right, Dahlia, come on. Please shed some new light on this.
I mean, it's tough because I was going to go with a fringe. I think that it's
If you get out of the water with the fringe, I think the fringe would be five times as long. It's going to waterlog. You wouldn't even be able to, you'd be like.
That's not the type of swimwear that you wear in the water. You wear that to get
the
bandwidth.
I don't know. I was really torn between the two of them, but I have to say the fringe is just super sexy. And it's not just the material, but it's the color. It's something about how the color really vibes with, like, her skin tone. I feel like it just would look fantastic on anybody, you know?
All right. Well, now, Catherine, I want to ask you, I mean, all three suits are so colorful. They're not black. You know, most women we see on the beach today are going with the darkest colors, especially if they're plus size. What's the new trend in color? You were mentioning geometric prints on the suit. You were talking about the Fatkini earlier. So what are you seeing as far as swimsuit trends going on right now?
Well, it's almost like there's these ruched-sided cocktail swim dresses that are so flattering. You can pull them down, you can go to the bar, get a drink, but when you're sunning yourself, you can ruche them up, and they show a lot of thigh, and they actually look like a one-piece, and I think that's a really hot trend that's happening. So it's kind of beach-to-bar look.
And Kendra, you know, there's another problem for a lot of women. You've got a sexy suit on, but then it's time to go to the bar and you want to cover it up and you're throwing on your beach towel. So what are your ideas of what to wear, not what not to wear as far as beach cover-ups?
I definitely think, you know, having a two-piece, and I don't mean, when I say two-piece, I don't mean like a two-piece bathing suit, but a bathing suit that also comes with a matching cover-up, because it also gives some sophistication to it. So, like, for me, there are a couple of brands that do that, and I have bathing suits by them. Like, one was La Blanca by Rod Beatty, and it's, you know, you can do it with a pair of linen pants on top, so while you're out and you're at the bar or you're, you know, walking around and you decide to go to the beach, you still look well put together, but then you can, you know, go to the beach, get in the water, do all of those things. And some of them are even, you know, as we talked earlier about, you know, worrying about your arms being out, some of them you can actually wear in the water. So they're stretchy enough material and made for the water so that you can also get in and still feel like you look sophisticated, you look put together without having to worry so much.
Okay, and Dahlia, you're into the face furniture. There was a huge trend with those big sunglasses. Are we seeing that still carrying over? Are people going smaller with sunglass frames today?
No, we're still seeing a huge statement when it comes to sunglasses, and the shapes are actually starting to trend backwards to, like, when people were in the 20s to the 40s. It's just becoming very interesting with the cat look and so on and so forth. It's really fantastic, and it just has, like, a nostalgic feeling. We were seeing that in Mad Men, too. I love that look.
Are you seeing different tortoise, or are you seeing more whites and dayglows and neons? Are you seeing are they going more with traditional, kind of like a tortoise shell?
So for the younger demographic, we're seeing like brightly colored sunglasses, whether it's like neon colored. But I think in general, white and black are always going to be staple trends. So if you're investing in a good piece, you'll have that for a couple of years.
And Alexis, what do you take to the beach with you? What kind of bag do you use to carry your diabetes supplies with you?
I have like a big, giant, waterproof beach bag. It's just colorful.
And Patricia Addy Gentle, we got like another minute. What do you carry in your bag if you're living with diabetes and you're going to the beach? Patricia?
Yes. If you're going to the beach, of course, you would want all of the regular things that you would have, like a glucose testing meter, your test strips, of course, and all the supplies, the Lancets included. You would need glucose tablets in case there are low blood sugars. As usual, although you're in your real cute attire, you still need some identification to let anyone know that you are a person with diabetes. And any other first aid things, you know, lots of water, to stay hydrated. Those are the kind of things that you would want to have with you. And be sure that the meter and the test strips are protected against sunlight and extra excessive heat.
All right. Well, I want to tell everyone, don't miss our upcoming salute to 20 Feet from Stardom featuring the Charlie's Angels of Outreach, Lisa Fisher, Mama Rosemarie, Lorraine Brooks, author Peter Apricella, Asha Brown, and more on our August Diabetes Roundtable scheduled for Tuesday, August 13th. Remember to visit Diva Beck's Facebook fan page and group pages for more show details, and check out all my videos on Mr. Diva Beck's YouTube channel. I want to thank tonight's guests, Patricia Addy Gentle, Catherine Schuler, Kendra Sharice Porter, Dahlia Strom, and Alexis for joining me today to help you laugh a little, learn a lot about diabetes self-care. Get more inspiration, motivation, and laughs at Diva Beck's Facebook pages and check out all my videos on Mr. Diva Beck's YouTube channel. Remember, every diva and dude has an entourage, and I'm so glad to be part of yours. Let's get happy and healthy together. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.